Let not your hearts be troubled. Here we are in the fifth Sunday of the great 50 days of Easter. It was 4 weeks ago that we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on Easter Day. And yet on this day, the lectionary takes us back to the night before the crucifixion, to the Last Supper. And it takes us here so that we might hear a teaching from Jesus, so that we might, as a resurrection people, learn how to face the many anxieties that will beset us in this life. Let not your hearts be troubled. The disciples have all sorts of reasons to be troubled on this night. For starters, Jesus has become increasingly explicit about what's about to happen to him in just a few hours. Terrifying. On top of this, Jesus has revealed to them that one of them is going to betray him. Devastating. And as if that weren't enough, Jesus has also foretold that when the chips are down, great and mighty Peter, in for a penny, in for a pound Peter, the unshakable rock Peter, is going to deny Jesus three times before the dawning of the new day. And if Peter the Great was going to collapse under the pressure like some cheap cardboard box, what hope could there possibly be for the meeker of the disciples who always counted on Peter to lead the charge? It's into this anxious moment that Jesus speaks these words. Let not your hearts be troubled. So often we get it in our minds that the Christian life is a worry-free life. But friends, nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will have troubles." And friends, even Jesus himself, on several occasions during his earthly ministry, was troubled in spirit. It's normal to be anxious in this life. You are going to be anxious in this life. The question is, how do we overcome it? Here in John 14, Jesus provides the answer. And as we prepare to look at his answer, I want to start with an observation that will help us to embrace his answer. I also want to name a stumbling block that can prevent us from receiving his blessed answer. And then we will turn our hearts to him and receive the gift that he offers us here in the upper room on the night before he suffered. Let not your hearts be troubled. Now, before Jesus tells us what to do with our anxiety, let's observe what he does in this moment. And let me ask you all a question. When you are facing something difficult, maybe it's a final exam. I'm sure some of you are facing final exams in this moment. Maybe it's a tough conversation that you don't want to have. Maybe it's a difficult decision that you don't want to make. Maybe it's an unpleasant experience that you cannot avoid. But when you've got something that's waiting for you in just a few hours and your stomach is all in knots, let me ask you, where is your focus? I can tell you where my focus is. And I say this with some shame, but I think I speak for many of us here today. When I've got a knot in my stomach about something that's about to happen, I'm focused on me. But friends, our God is not like that. Isn't it extraordinary that here, mere hours before Jesus will be betrayed, humiliated, abandoned by his friends, tortured, and killed, all of which he has predicted, so he knows that it's coming. Isn't it extraordinary that in this moment, Jesus is not focused on himself and what's about to happen? No, he's focused on his disciples. He's focused on comforting them when they should be comforting him. I want to ask you, what other God is there? In all of human history, in all of human imagining, who is like this? What other God is willing to put himself in the place of suffering for the sake of his people? The very same people who will tuck tail and run when he needs them most. What other God is like our God? Friends, there is no one like Jesus. On the night when his own heart is pressed down with sorrow, he does not turn inward. No, he looks out in compassion toward his people. Troubled, confused with their flickering faith, and he speaks into their fears. He steadies them with the truth of what's unfolding, and he prepares them for the shock of what's about to take place. He's like a mother hen who gathers up her little chicks under her wings, even while she is facing imminent mortal danger. He draws his disciples to himself, even as he himself moves toward the cross. Friends, that's the observation. And I share this observation with you because Jesus is about to make some promises. And as you all have experienced, a promise is only as good as the person who makes it. So let's be clear. The God who is making these promises is a God who cares for his people even as he prepares to suffer for them. And there is no other God like him. Let not your hearts be troubled. So with that observation as a backdrop, let's now turn to what Jesus says about facing our troubles. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Many of you are familiar with the author Ray Stedman. And Ray Stedman refers to this verse, John 14:1, as the concise manual for stress management. Isn't that great? The concise manual for stress management. John 14:1. How do we overcome our anxieties? Trust God. Trust Jesus. Friends, when troubles come, and they will come, when anxieties trouble your heart, and they will trouble your heart, hold fast to Jesus. I will not leave you. I will be with you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. When I think back to those days when our two children were small enough for us to hold them in our arms, anytime that they were encountered something that was frightening or scary or made them anxious or troubled, their instinct was always to grab on to mom or dad. That's the picture here. Hold fast to me, Jesus says. How do we prevail? How do we overcome the anxieties which are going to beset us? Hold on to Jesus, who then goes on to explain why they can trust him. Jesus knows that in just a few hours, his disciples are going to witness something terrible. They're going to see their Lord, whom they love, whom they have followed, whom they've even worshiped, hanging on a cross. And by every measure, it's going to look like complete and total and utter defeat, the end of the story. But Jesus says, when that happens, don't be fooled by what you see. For behind that reality that you see with your eyes, something greater is happening. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm not abandoning you. I'm going to go ahead of you to open the way for you. A place where you will belong. a place where you will be welcomed with rejoicing, a place where I will meet you when you arrive. That is what's taking place when I die on the cross. I am going to prepare a place for you. There in my Father's house. Now, friends, you and I are going to encounter all sorts of troubles and anxieties in this life. But if we belong to Christ, then the one thing we don't have to fear is death. For if we have given ourselves to Christ, then death is not the end of the story, any more than the cross was the end of the story. It is the doorway into the home we were made for. The moment we close our eyes to this life, we will open them in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And friends, let me tell you, for the first time in all of your experience, you will experience in His presence true, unconditional love. Not partially, not conditionally, but completely. And when Jesus goes to the cross, He goes to open the way back home. Well, Thomas, God bless him, Thomas says what's clearly, I'm sure, on everybody else's mind. Jesus finishes this promise, and Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And here we arrive at a stumbling block for many. Maybe a stumbling block for you. Jesus says these deeply comforting but deeply challenging words. Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In a culture like ours, which holds tolerance up as the highest aim, and certainly we want to live peaceably with others, but when tolerance is held up as the highest aim, and any kind of claim to absolute truth, our culture has an allergic reaction to it. In this kind of culture, these words of Jesus are hard to embrace. There is pressure from without and pressure from within to try and soften what Jesus says about himself, to try and reinterpret it or make it acceptable. But friends, we need to hear him clearly. Jesus did not claim to show the way or teach the truth or lead us to life. No, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In other words, if you know me, then you know God. If you listen to my words, then you are hearing the very voice of God. If you observe how I treat people, then you are seeing God in action. Now, friends, let me ask you, who among us here today would be willing to say to someone else, hey, you want to know what God is like? Watch me. None of us would say that. But that's what Jesus says. It is an exclusive claim. But let's be clear that even while Jesus makes this exclusive claim, his arms are thrown open to the whole world. The same God who says, no one comes to the Father but by me, also says, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All. There is no asterisk on all. There is no fine print under all. There are no qualifiers on all. Come, all. His arms are open to the whole world. So yes, there is only one way home, but the door is open to all. The only thing that keeps us out is our refusal to run into his open arms. Friends, Jesus' invitation is radically inclusive. Come all. If you've been holding back, if this claim of Jesus has been a stumbling block for you, then I want you to hear this. You will not find another Savior like him. You will not find another God like him. A God who, on the night before he suffered, is caring for his people, speaking peace into their fear, preparing for them for what is to come. There's no one like Jesus. And even now, he stands before you with open arms, saying, come. Now, I know full well that Jesus claimed to be the only way to the Father. It's been a stumbling block for many, perhaps for some of you here this morning. And if that's where you are, if something in you hesitates, if something within you resists, then please hear this. Jesus is not holding you off at arm's length, waiting for you to figure it out. He's standing right before you. He's beckoning you this day. The same Jesus who says, no one comes to the Father except through me, also says, come to me. Not after you've gotten everything sorted out, not once all of your doubts are gone, but now, as you are. So the question is not, do I understand everything? The question is, will I trust him? Will I trust the one who gave his life for me? Will I trust the one who has gone ahead of me to prepare a place for me? Will I trust the one who promises to bring me home? Friends, if you will take that step, if you will entrust your life to him, then what you will discover in a world that is confusing and at times bewildering, you will find that he is the way to purpose and meaning and hope. You will discover that he is true, not in some abstract way, but in the deepest sense. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. He will not let you go. He is the truth, and he is true. And you will discover in a world that can press you down, he is the one who gives you life and renews hearts and steadies troubled souls. So friends, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. When the path ahead is unclear, follow him. When the world makes its deceptive promises, trust him. When the world presses in around you, hold fast to him. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So friends, this day, won't you come to Jesus? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that even when your people are wayward, even when our faith is like a smoldering candle, even then you do not abandon us, but you beckon us to come. Grant us the grace this day to turn our hearts to you and to find indeed that you are the way, the truth, the life, the way home to the Father. And that in your presence and by your Spirit, we might come to everlasting and eternal life this day. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.